Okay, good vach, everybody. Good to be back. Good to see everybody. We are in the midst of the Makos. And the truth is, in order to appreciate the Makos, really you can't just look at Parshas Va'era independently or Parshas Bo independently, but it's really critical to take a sweeping view of both Parshas Va'era and Bo to get really a very deep sense of the Makos, to appreciate them, to understand them, to elucidate and to explain the Makos. Classically, as we have explained over the years, there are multiple ways really to address and understand the Makos. The standard classical approach, which we've discussed, is the approach of the Ramban, so also the approach of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I would like to do something a little bit different and share with you what I think is something a bit innovative, a little bit different, yet it does piggyback on some of the themes of the Mefarshim that we have addressed. Now, as you know, one of the ways to divide the Makos, one of the more classical ways to divide the Makos, certainly as, believe it or not, Pesach is coming, Leil HaSeder, in Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the famous opinion of Rabbi Yehuda gave simonim to the Makos, the Tzach, Adash, and Ba'achav, dividing up the Makos into three units, three, three, and four. Dam Tzvadei Akinim, then Arav Dever Shchin, then Barad Ar Bechoshech and Bechoros. That's the division of Rabbi Yehuda. When we get to Pesach, we could ask the question, what was so critical about Rabbi Yehuda's mnemonic, and why did he have to divide the Makos into three units, three, three, and four? But another classical way to divide the Makos is actually into three, three, and three. That's the division of the Ramban, and that's the division of many Mefarshei HaChumash. That is to say that we divide into Dam Tzvadei Akinim, then Arov Dever Shchin, then Barad Ar Bechoshech. So it's a trilogy of three, and then Makos Bechoros being the tenth and final Makos sort of stands in its own class of itself. What I'd like to do today is to follow that pattern, not the pattern of Rabbi Yehuda, but rather the pattern of the Ramban of three, three, and three, and share with you some very, very interesting differences, unique differences between each of the three sets of three. And I'd like to, Bezrus Hashem, develop what I think is a very, very interesting way of looking at the Makos, understanding the Makos, and how exactly they were administered, and how the punishment went into effect. So let's start in Parshas Va'era, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yudalet, is where the first of the ten Makos begins. That's the plague of Dam, blood. And if you take a look at Dam, Tzvardeya, and Kinim, the first three, back in last week's Parsha, Parshas Va'era, you'll see a common denominator, a commonality between these three, and then we'll address the next three, and then the final three, and hopefully a pattern that is meaningful, powerful, and instructive can emerge. So if you take a look in Parshas Va'era, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yudal, V'yomer Shem al Moshe, Kaved Lev Paro. So God speaks to Moshe and tells him that Paro is being stubborn, he's hardening his heart. Lechal Paro, go to Paro Baboker, Vine Yotze Hamaima, Vinitzavta Likrosol Svasior, meet up with Paro on the bank of the Nile River. Vahamat Esher Nepach Lenachash, Tikach Biadacha. So take a look, this is going to be very important. Moshe is instructed to bring the staff, the same staff that turned into a stake. Moshe is instructed to bring that staff with him. And again, Moshe meets, he goes and he finds Paro. But now, skip ahead to Pasuk Yotes. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el Aaron. So as opposed to Moshe being the one to mete out this punishment, the first of the Makos, the Mak of Dam, Hashem instructs Moshe to tell Aaron, take your staff, kach matecha. So now, it's not the staff that Moshe has been instructed to take, but now Moshe is telling Aaron to take his staff. We're not going to talk about the staffs today. We've talked about that, I believe, at other points. But nonetheless, Moshe is instructed by God to tell Aaron to take matecha, to take his staff, and to place his hand al meme mitzrayim val naharosam val yoreim val agamem val kol mikve memem. So Moshe instructs Aaron to take his staff, to place his hand on all the bodies of water, lakes, rivers, ocean, sea, any body of water that exists. And if when he does that, the waters will turn to blood. Vayid dam, v'hayad dam b'chalaretz Mitzrayim be'etzim avanim. Everything will turn to blood. Take a look, pasuk chaf. Vayasuke Moshe v'Aaron. Moshe did what he was supposed to do. Aaron did what he is supposed to do. And exactly that which our Kadosh Baruch Hu promised takes place. The water turns to blood. Pasuk Chav continues. Vayarn b'mate v'yachas ha'mayim asher b'yor le'ne paru le'ne avadav v'yabchu kol ha'mayim asher b'yor le'tam. Everything turns to blood. So this makkah is successfully meted out. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Aaron. Aaron listens. The staff is taken. The ground is hit. And the makkah of blood takes place. So there you have it. Makkah number one. First of the 10 makkos. The points that need to be understood in this makkah. Number one, it's Aaron and not Moshe. Number two, it's Aaron's matah. And number three, it's on the ground. However, there's a fourth critical item that emerges from Makkah Stam, and that's in Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayasu chein chartume Mitzrayim belateim. The astrologers, the chartume Mitzrayim, the incredible magicians of Egypt were able to duplicate this Makkah. So here you have it. It was Aaron, it was on the ground, it was with a mateh, and the Chartumim were able to duplicate it. So those are the four common denominators that exist in this Makkah, which I will show you momentarily, also reappear in the second of the 10th Makkos, and that is the Makkah of Dam, of Tzvardeah. Take a look, and the second plague is brought upon in Pasuk Chavav, Perek Zayin, chapter 7, Pasuk Chavav, verse 26, Vayomer Shem Moshe Bo Paro V'mar Telav, Komar Shem Shalach Hasami V'Avduni. Hashem tells Moshe to tell Paro, send my nation, allow my people to go free. And if you do not allow them to go free, you know what's going to happen? Your entire land, your country, all of your borders are going to be attacked with tzfardayim, frogs. And where will the frogs go? The Pasuk says, Pasuk Chavches, the last Pasuk in Parag Zayin, Beveisecha b'chad mishkavecha, in your homes, in your bedrooms, al mitasecha, on your beds, Beveisavadecha, the homes of your servants, Ba'amecha, amongst all the citizens, the countrymen of your the land and the country of Egypt, Uvesanurecha, and in your ovens, Uvimisharosecha, and frogs will go into your kneading bowls, here, there, and everywhere. Now, who meets out this punishment? Makas Tzvardeah, Perek Ches, chapter 8, Pasuk Aleph, Yomer Shemal Moshe, Emor al Aaron. Again, Makas Tzvardeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Aaron, Neteyas Yodcha Bimatech, again, his hand and his staff. Al Naharos Val Yorim, Al Agamim, again, on all of the bodies of water, on the rakes, on the rivers, on the every single body of water that exists. V'halas Tzvardeim al Eretz Mitzrayim. Does Aaron duplicate this Makkah? Is he able to mete out the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do? Indeed, he does. In Pasuk Beis, Vayet Aaron is Yadom Mitzrayim. Aaron follows exactly what it was that God told him. He places his hand on Meimim Mitzrayim. The Tzvardeah emerges and covers the land of Egypt. And not too soon enough, in Pasuk Gimel, Vayasu Kena Chartumim Bilateim. Again, these magicians, these special, unique astrologers, or these people who had these ways of doing these incantations were able to also duplicate this Makkah. And again, the Tzvardeah was emerging from the Chartume Mitzrayim. So we have that Makkah's Dam and Makkah's Tzvardeah exactly identical. It was God telling Moshe to tell Aaron. It was God telling Moshe to tell Aaron to take his staff. It was God telling Moshe to tell Aaron to take his staff and then to place his hand on Mitzrayim. And then the Chartumim, the magicians, these special Egyptians were able to duplicate the Makkah again. And now take a look in the third Makkah, the Makkah of Kinim, the Makkah of Lice. And this finalizes the first set, the first unit of Dan Tzvardeah Kinim, the first set of three, and you'll see the very same thing again. Perek Ches, chapter 8, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer Shem El Moshe, Emor El Aaron. Moshe is told by God to tell his brother Aaron, Neteyas Matecha, again, take your staff. Behach Es Afar Arts V'Hayel Kinim, hit the ground, and these lice will emerge from the ground. B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Aaron does exactly that. Vayasu Kein, Vayet Aaron Es Yado B'Mateo. Aaron does what God had told him. by the way of Moshe. He takes his staff. He hits it on the ground. There was lice everywhere throughout the land of Egypt. So again, it's Aaron. Again, it's his staff. And are the Chartumim able to duplicate this Makkah? Pasuk Yudalid, Vayasu Kena Chartumim, the Chartumim, the Egyptians, again, are able to duplicate this Makkah Belatem through their witchcraft, through their sorcery, through the magical ways that they had to do it. Lahotzi Sakinim Velo Yachlu, Vatihi Hakinim Ba'adum Evahema. So here you have something interesting. The astrologers, the Chartumim, were unable to duplicate this Makkah. So although in the first unit of three, Dam Tzvedei Akinim, everything is similar, there is one anomaly, and that is the Chartumim are unable to duplicate Kinim. So just to review, so we're all on the same page, Dam Tzvedei Akinim, the first set of three Makos, are similar for the following reasons. Number one, God tells Moshe to tell Aaron. It's Aaron who does it. Number two, it's on the ground. All of these Makos are on the ground. And by the way, that's why Rashi says that it was Aaron specifically who had to mete out this punishment and these Makos, because Moshe Rabbeinu was saved by the ground. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was protected by the ground. Kadosh Baruch Hu helped Moshe Rabbeinu by hiding the Mitzri when Moshe Rabbeinu hit and killed the Mitzri, and Moshe Rabbeinu hid the Mitzri in the ground. Moshe Rabbeinu was protected by the waters when he was floating on the Nile River, and therefore Moshe, through his unique sense and his ability to be Makir Tov, to have acknowledging God's goodness for protecting him through all of the ground, was not the one who meted out the first three punishments. It was rather Aaron who did that. They're all on the ground. The Chartumim were able to do them all minus Kinim. And again, it's with a mata, with a hand. And these are the first set of three. What's the significance of these first set of three? Why is it that all three of these Makos have to be on the ground? Why through Aaron? Why were the Chartumim able to duplicate, and why were they unable to duplicate the final? So the Ramban, Nachmanides, his approach, and what seems to emerge from the first three Makos, is that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal himself to Klal Yisrael, and more than that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal himself through Aaron and through Moshe. Although Aaron meets out the punishment, although it's Aaron who successfully is the one to bring Dam, Tzvardeh, and Kinim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, is telling the world, is telling Yisrael, is telling Moshe, is telling Aaron, is telling the Mitzrim, that you can have a connection with me. You can tap into Kedushas Hashem, you can tap into certain supernatural powers in this world, but only on the ground. And there is such potential that even the Chartumim can do it. Even Chartumim Mitzrayim, who are able to, through their feats, through their unique ways, are able to do the same as well. What God is telling the world, what God is telling Klal Yisrael, what God is telling Mitzrayim, and what God is showing through Moshe and Aaron, is that man has the ability to do supernatural, phenomenal things, but on the ground, in this world. Through Moshe, through Aaron, and even the Chartumim can do that. They too can mimic, can duplicate, can carbon copy some things and some elements that Moshe and Aaron were able to do. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing himself in order to show the people that I am here. I am a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, telling Mitzrayim, that there is this possibility. So here you have the first three Makos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed himself, has shown himself, and as the Ramban says, the critical pasuk in the first three Makos is Perek Ches, Pasuk Zayin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, L'manteida ki ein kaHashem Elokeinu, which means that you shall know that there is nobody like Hashem your God. The purpose of the first three Makos is to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relevance and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's prowess and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability in this world. The Mitzrim deny that. Paro always said, Ani Yoriv, Ani Asisani, I can do everything. I can create. I can build. I am a God. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Paro, teaching the Mitzrim, not so fast. It's true your Chartumim are able to duplicate, but not everybody could duplicate. The Chartumim can. Moshe and Aaron, their staff, they're able to do something unique and something special. You can't. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling in no uncertain terms, in a very powerful way, L'man teida ki ein kashem l'kenu. As we will see, Makos Dam Tzra Dan Kim will be a building block, will be one rung on the ladder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message that he will be sending the mitzvah. So this is the first set of three, the first unit that we have shown, Dam Tzra Dan Kinim. Let's move to the second set of three, Arov Dever Eshkin. The first is Arov, that's the wild beasts. And take a look carefully, and you will now see that each of the common denominators that we have brought out in the first unit, the first set of three, Dam Tzra Dan Kinim, are not present in this middle set. Take a look. Vayomer Shemel Moshe, Perek Ches, Pasuk Tezayin, the beginning of the fourth Makkah, Arov, wild beasts. Vayomer Shemel Moshe, Hashkim Baboker, wake up early in the morning. Visyatsev Lifne Paron, station yourself in front of Paro. Hine Yotze Hamayma, as Paro's always going out to the water. Ve'amarta Elav Komar Hashem Shalach Esami Ve'yavduni. Hashem tells Moshe to tell Paro, send, allow my people to go out so that they may serve you. Then if not, if you don't allow my nation, my people to go free, hineni mashlich becha uve'avadecha ve'amecha uve'vatecha sa'arov. If not, I'm going to send you these wild beasts everywhere, throughout your land, amongst your countrymen, to your servants, in your homes. Umalu bate mitzrayim sa'arov agam ha'adam asher hei malea. They will fill the homes, the land of Egypt, everywhere. Now, keep on reading these psukim, and you'll see something here that's again unique and different to all of the first three makos in set number one. Who actually brings out this makkah? Take a look very carefully. The psukim continue, and it doesn't say. Silence. The makkah emerges, but there's no statement of Moshe's emergence of the makkah, not of Aaron bringing out the makkah. Moshe's staff is missing. Aaron's staff is missing. It doesn't seem to be on the ground. It seems to be everywhere. What happens? Why in the second set, in Makos 4, 5, and 6, Arov, Dever, Shchin, and we'll go through Dever and Shchin momentarily, but it's quite unique and very apparent, and the omission of Moshe's staff and Aaron's staff, and Moshe and Aaron meeting out this punishment, and the fact that it's not on the ground, but it's rather everywhere, seems to speak to a whole different ball of wax, to a whole different phenomena that's taking place. What is the significance of the second set? Take a look in Pasuk Yurches, and the Ramban, Nachmanides again teaches us, and he explains, V'hiflesi bayomahu es eretz Goshen, asher ami omed aleha, levilti heyosham aro, v'lemanteida, Ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz, says the Ramban, as opposed to the first set of three, where what did the pasuk say? And back in pasuk vav leman teida kein kashem el kein, in order that you shall know that I am Hashem your God. Here it is articulated differently. What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu want to know? Leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz, that I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu that dwells amongst you. This is what we call, says the Ramban, hashgacha pratis. The second set of Makos, the second unit, Arov, Dever, Shchin, is coming to teach the Jewish people. And Memela, the Mitzvah, something very different. It's teaching us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after us, Klal Yisrael specifically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is uniquely following our lives independently, individually, and communally, and nationally. Look what the pasuk says, V'hiflesi bayom ha'hu es eretz Goshen. I'm going to divide the makkah of Arov, Dever, and Shchin, the second set, these three makos. They're not going to hit Goshen. They're not going to enter. V'hiflesi bayom ha'hu es eretz Goshen, she'ami omer levilti aleh. Levilti heyo sham Arov. There's not going to be any Arov, no wild beasts in Goshen whatsoever. Why? Leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz, in order that you shall know that I am a Kodesh Baruch Hu that dwells with you. I am with you, Klal Yisrael. The first set of makos, what did it say? Leman teida ki ein kashem elokeinu. There is nobody like Hashem your God. Water turned to blood. Tzfardeim came everywhere, inside and outside. Kinim, lice, were up and down and all around. Wherever you went, there was lice. That shows that there's a God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omniscient. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can punish I am Hashem, your God. That's what Dam Tzoradei Akinim showed. However, Arav Dever Shechin, the second set of three are going to show something very different. It's going to show that I am Hashem, your God. Bekerev, or at stage two, the building block continues. The second rung on the ladder as we climb in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, I am not just a God. It's not just that there is a God in this world. It's not just that you have to believe in me. That we know through Dam Tzvadei and Kinim. I've shown myself. But now I want to show you something deeper, Klal Yisrael. I love you so much, I care about you, that the makos that I am punishing the Mitzrim with are not even going to enter your land. It's not going to hit Goshen. But what else we have to figure out? We have not yet solved another piece of this puzzle. Why are the makos and the second set of Arav Dever Shechin, why do Moshe and Aaron have nothing to do with them? What happened to the staves of Moshe and Aaron? Why is it not on the ground? And why do these makos seem to be everywhere? Dam starts on the ground, it hits the water bodies. Tzvardeh is on the ground. Kinim is on the ground. Arav, these wild beasts seem to be everywhere. Everywhere. The Torah doesn't say on the ground specifically. And more than that, the Torah here in Makos Arav doesn't tell us where they were, who did it, etc., etc., etc. So let's continue. Now that we have seen Makos Arav, let's together see Makos Dever, the fifth Makah. And again, I will show you how the second set of three have this parallel with them. Take a look. Perek Tes, chapter 9, Parshas Ve'era, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, bo el paro, v'dibarta elav, ko amar Hashem elokei Avraham shalach esami v'avduni. God tells Moshe to tell paro, to allow my nation, allow my people to go free so that they may serve me. And if not, hiniyad Hashem haya b'miknecha, there's going to be an epidemic. And this epidemic is going to hit all of the animal kingdom. B'miknecha, all of your cattle, asher basada, basusim, bachamorim, very, very difficult, painful epidemic that's going to hit the animal kingdom, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, and all of the cattle. And now look in Pasuk Dalet, the Ramban says that the second set of three, what are we learning in this set of makos, this unit? Pasuk Dalet, Perek Tes, v'hifla Hashem be'mikne so be'mikne Mitzrayim. Again, there's going to be separation. There's going to be division. There's going to be a strong line, a demarcation that takes place between Mitzrayim and Goshen. Pasuk Dalet, read it again. V'hifle Hashem. Hashem will divide. Be'mikne yiso be'mikne Mitzrayim means the cattle, the donkeys, the camel, the cows that are of Egyptian property of ownership. They're all going to be struck by this epidemic. It's going to get each and every single one of those animals. However, Jewish-owned cattle, livestock will not get affected. V'lo yamos mikol livnei Yisrael davar. Not one Jewish animal that is owned by a Jew will be struck, will be killed. V'yasem Hashem moed le'mor HaKadosh Baruch Hu established a time. Machar, tomorrow, yas Hashem ha'davar hazeh, tomorrow it's going to happen. Now, who meets out this punishment? Take a look, Pasuk Ches. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron. God speaks to Moshe and Aaron. K'chu lachem lo chofneichem. Haha, no mate, right? The mate is missing in the mid section, in the second unit of Makos. Only Dam Tzvardei Akinim do you see a mate. K'chulechem molei chafneichem. What's molei chafneichem? Handfuls of furnace soot. Piach kivshon. Vizarko Moshe Hashemai le'nepar. Moshe is going to just throw up the soot from the furnace into the heavens. V'hayla avakal kol eretz Mitzrayim. And it's going to create dust. That's going to go everywhere throughout the land of Egypt. It's going to merge ala adam, v'ala behem ala shchin pareach abuos. These boils are going to go everywhere, b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, all over Egypt. So what you're seeing now, in these section, in this unit of Arov, Dever, and Shchin, is the same idea, the same commonality. It's not Moshe and Aaron with their staff. It's not on the ground, but it's rather everywhere. But who meets it out? It's not really Moshe and Aaron, because if you read the next Pasuk, what does it say? Pasuk Yud. V'yikhu es piyach ha-kivshon v'yamdu l'fnei paro v'yizir gosa Moshe ha-shamayma v'yishchin ha-ba'abuos pareach ba'adum ha-behema. And here you see that these boils emerged everywhere. But again, it's not on the ground, and it's not with the staff, and it's not Moshe, and it's not Aaron. And again, the commonality that exists in this second unit in Arov, Dever, and Shchin, as it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lo yachlu achartumim lamu lifnei Moshe and pnei Shchin, ki haya Shchin bachartumim b'chol Mitzrayim. The Chartumim, the Egyptian sorcerers, they too were unable to duplicate Arov, Dever, and Shchin. They couldn't do it. They too were attacked by Arov, Dever, and Shchin. So here we go. We have two sets, two units of Makos, parallels between Dam Tzvadei Akinim, parallels between Arov, Dever, and Shchin. Let's review the parallels, and then we have to build and try to understand what is taking place and why is it that we see these three units of three. Dam Tzvadei Akinim, the blood, the frogs, and the lice are all on the ground, all by Moshe, all by Aaron. The Chartumim can't duplicate it, and Moshe and Aaron mete out the punishment, mete out the makos. However, the second unit, the second three, Arov, Dever, Shchin, the wild beasts, the epidemic, the boils, those are not meted out by Moshe, not by Aaron, it's not on the ground, but it seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo, God Almighty, meets out the punishment by himself, and it's for that reason that we see it's not limited to the ground. It's everywhere. Moshe throws up the soot into heaven, and it goes everywhere. The Arov, it doesn't say that it's limited to the ground. The Arov went everywhere, up and down and all around. And the same thing is true with the boils. Question is, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in this unit, in this section of Arov, Dever, and Shchin different that takes place in Dam Tzvardei and Kinim? Well, if Dam Tzvardei and Kinim were supposed to teach, as the Ramban says, L'man Teida, Ki Ani Hashem, in order that you should know that I am Hashem, your God, if the second unit of Arov, Dever, and Shchin are supposed to show the L'man Hifle, the division between Mitzrayim and Goshen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe and is telling Aaron, it's true that you have ability. It's true that you have power. It's true that you could connect to me, just like any tzaddik and tzaddikim have the ability to tap into kochos that exist in this world, and you could turn water to blood, and there could be tzvardeim everywhere, and the same thing is true with kinim. But there's certain things that you can't do. There's certain things, you're limited. You are mortals. You are Moshe and you are Aaron, but you can't do everything. And it's for that reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow Aaron and doesn't allow Moshe to mete out these punishments. Arov, Dever, and Shchin are limited to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Moshe. It's not Aaron. It's not on the ground. And of course, the Chartumim, the sorcerers of the Egyptians, are unable to duplicate this Makkah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching that there are certain things in this world that are untouchable. You don't have the power. You don't have the ability. You don't have the koach. It's true you could do Dam Tzvadei and Kinim. But in this set, in this unit of the middle section of three, Arov, Dever, and Shchin, Laman Hifla, I'm teaching you that I am above all. I could divide. I could attack the cattle. I could create an epidemic. I could send wild beasts. I could send boils that will hit all of Egypt. And amazingly, it won't hit Bnei Yisrael, it won't affect the cattle, it won't affect the herd of Bnei Yisrael, the boils won't attack you, there's going to be this division. So we see building blocks taking place. The first set of three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to show His power in this world. L'man teida ki ani Hashem, I'm Hashem. And then the next set of three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, yes, you are powerful, Moshe and Aaron, and you can do unique things, just like the Chartumim can, but nonetheless, you're limited. And I'm going to show you in this section, in this unit, L'man teida ki ani Hashem bikerev haaretz, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu that dwells dafka and looks after you, and that's something that's unique to me. So if we've seen the first set, and we've seen the second set, we've seen Dam Tzvardei Akinim, we've seen Arov, Dever, and Shchin, let's move now to Bara, the 7th, 8th, and 9th Makkah, and see what could be unique, what could be different, what could be the next step in the third and final unit of the Aseres HaMakos, number 7, 8, and 9. Let's pay close attention. Who is going to be the one to mete out the punishment? Is it going to be Moshe, Aaron, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it going to be on the land, or is it going to be in the air, or is it going to be on the water? Let's take a look at that. Let's see if the Chartumim can do it, and let's see if the Mateh, if the staff of Moshe or Aaron are going to be used, because those are the common denominators, those are the commonalities that we have seen in each of the first two units. Take a look. The seventh Makkah, Pasuk Yudalid, Perek Tes, chapter 9, verse 14, Ki bapam hazos, ani sholech es kol magevosai elibecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the following, I'm going to send all of my plagues. So here it seems to be that there is a sense of heightened uniqueness and certainly power and more intensity as the makos grow. Because here the seventh makkah, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Ani sholech es kol magefos. I'm going to send all of my plagues on you, against you. It's going to be in your servants' homes. It's going to be in your countrymen's homes. Ba'avur teida ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. And here the Ramban says that this is the uniqueness of this third set. Remember the first set of three. The pasuk that the Ramban honed in on, l'man teide kine Hashem. You should know that I am Hashem, your God. The second set of Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim that Leman Teida Ki Ani Hashem Bekeref Haaretz. There's Hashkacha Pratis that I am looking after you. And here Perek Tes Pasuk Yudal, the Ramban says this is the critical pasuk of the last section, the last unit of three. Lebavur Teida, we're always learning something. Ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the world, I am supernatural. I am above and beyond all. For sure the Chartumim are unable to duplicate. And not only that, you will now know and you will see through these final three makos, the makos of hail, barad, arba, locust, and choshech, darkness, that these are things that are above all possibilities. You could even argue Dam, Tzvardei, and Kinim were within the natural order because the Chartumim can do it. You could argue that the second unit of Arov, Dever, Shchin, the wild beasts emerging, that could happen. You could argue that there could be some sense of a epidemic that could attack the animal kingdom. You could understand that's possible to argue. The sixth Makkah, the Makkah of boils, that's something that could happen. Shchin. But here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the final three, Arbe and Choshech and Dever, these three are above and beyond. I'm going to show my supernatural ability. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leman Teda, that you should know, Ki Ein Kamoni Bechol Aretz. There is nothing like me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the entire world, in the entire land. But let's take a look at this last unit and see what the commonality, what the common denominators are going to be between Makos 7, 8, and 9, and share the uniqueness amongst these three and the disparity between these three and the first and second unit. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Pasuk Chav Beis, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Beis, 9:22, Neteyes Yotcha al Hashamayim. Aha! Very different. The first three, the first unit, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe? To take his staff and to place his staff on the ground. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe two very different pieces of instruction. No staff, no ground. Neteyes yodcha al hashamayim. Place your hand up toward heaven. So first and foremost, we see a distinction in the first three and the second three, and now the final three, when it comes to the makos of 7, 8, and 9. Barad, arbe, choshech, the hail, the locust, and the darkness, Moshe is told to place his heaven hands heavenward, not a staff, not on the ground. If you do so, there will be hail throughout all of Egypt. Man and animal. This will affect all of humanity. The animal kingdom, plant life, as well as human beings. What does Moshe do? Does Moshe follow the instructions or not? Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayet Moshe es Matehu al Hashemayim. God instructs Moshe to place his hand heavenward. Does Moshe place his hand heavenward? He does not. The instructions are not heeded, are not followed. The Torah says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, place your hands heavenward. Moshe, in the very next Pasuk, Pasuk of Gimel, Vayet Moshe es Matehu al Hashamayim. Moshe places his staff up to heaven. However, the Makkah still is meted out, but we need to understand very, very well. How come Moshe doesn't place his hand heavenward when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him? Mashem Nasim Kolos Uvarat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the barat, sends the hail. Vatahalech Eish, arts and a fire, emerges from heaven onto the ground. Vayimam Ter Hashem Barat al Eretz Mitzrayim. The hail hits the land of Egypt. Vahi Barat Ve'esh Mislakachas Besocha Barat. And mixed in with his hail is water, is fire. Mislakachas Besocha Barat. And this is what the Ramban explains, is the reason for this final set of three. This is above and beyond. Water and fire cannot mix and cannot mingle. But here in Makkah's Barat and hail, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us, Ke'ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. Nobody could duplicate. Nobody could imitate. Because water and fire don't mix. I will mix water and fire. And you will see, Ke'ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. There's nobody like me in the entire land of Egypt. And you will see something as the pasuk says, "Shalohaya kamo b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, me'az ha'isel goy." You've never seen something like this from the moment that Egypt was created and became a nation. Pasuk chafhei vayach habar b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, eis kol asher basada me'adam v'ad behema v'es kol esev hasada hika habar v'es kol etz hasada shiber. Everything gets rocked. Everything gets knocked. Goshen is protected. There's no barad. Paro is frightened, he's scared for the first time. In Pasuk Chavav, he turns to Moshe, he admits, he acknowledges God's righteousness. Chatasi apam, I have sinned. Hashem atzadik vani vami harishayim. Another unique aspect of this final unit. And in Barad, Paro was never, ever up until this point willing to acknowledge, to admit that there was a God. Even though, as the Ramban says, L'man teideki ani Hashem bekerav ha'aretz. But it takes Barad, it takes the supernatural, it takes the water and the ice mixing with fire. It takes the power of Moshe lifting his staff toward heaven. It takes this unique Makkah, the Makkah of Barad, for Paro to see, to acknowledge, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's turn to Parshas Bo. The beginning of Parshas Bo for the eighth Makkah. And again, this is a good example where you see the division of the Parshas really doesn't speak to a stop, to a division, because how can you read Parshas Va'era without reading Parshas Bo, and how can you study Parshas Bo without knowing what happened in Parshas Va'era? The eighth Makkah is piggybacking on the seventh Makkah. You can't study the eighth Makkah, the Makkah of Arbe, without knowing the Makkah number seven of Makkah of Barad. Because as the Ramban says, the Makkos are divided into three units of three, Dam Tzvadei Akinim, Arov Dever Shchin, and now Barad Arbe Choshesh. Let's take a look at the eighth Makkah, the Makkah of Locust, and see again what are the common denominators, what are the commonalities in this Makkah. If you take a look, Perek Yud, chapter 10, Pasuk Yud Beis, here it goes. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, nite yodachal eretz Mitzrayim. Just like in the seventh Makkah, just like in the Makkah of Hail of Barad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to place his hand heavenward. Again, Moshe is told by God to place his hand heavenward. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. Arbe, the locusts are going to come. If you place your hands heavenward, locusts are going to come. Vayal al eretz Mitzrayim, it's going to attack all of Egypt. Vayochel es kol esev aris es kol asher hishir habard. Everything that has not been attacked, destroyed by bard, by hail, this Makkah, the Makkah of locusts, is going to attack all vegetation, is going to eat up all the, anything that's green, anything that's left, the locusts are going to attack. Now, does Moshe listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command to place his hand heavenward? Take a look, and again, the very next pasuk Gimel. Vayet Moshe es Matehu al Eretz Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe, Moshe, lift your hands heavenward, and then the Arba, the locust, will come. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Moshe, what does he do? He takes his staff again, and he takes his staff, and he stretches it out over the land of Egypt. The Moshe doesn't follow exactly what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. He's supposed to place his hand heavenward, and he doesn't do so. And he instead takes the staff and places it on Egypt. But nonetheless, Makkas Arbe still is executed.
And the pasuk says, "Vashem niyag ruach kadim baaretz kol yom uvachol alayla baoker." Hayav ruach kadim nasas arba. The arba emerged, even though Moshe doesn't do what exactly it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him. Nonetheless, arba, the locusts attacked everywhere, wherever the land of Egypt was, and there's so much locust that pasuk tezvav tells us, "Vatechshach haaretz." The land became covered, became dark. As a result, it covered the entire surface of the entire land, and the entire land became darkened. You could imagine how much locust there was. Vayochel, it's called Esev Arts. It attacked all the vegetation, everything that was green, and whatever barad, whatever the seventh makkah, hail didn't destroy. Arba locust does it as well. And again, take a look in Pasuk Tezayin. We see in this final set, the final unit, what does Paro say? Chatasi l'Hashem elokeich l'Hashem. I have sinned. I admit my guilt. I acknowledge that God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is able to do supernatural, unique things. So for following carefully in this final unit, the numbers 7, 8, and 9, Arba and Choshech, and Barad Arba Choshech, we're seeing the same commonality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, lift his hand heavenward. Moshe doesn't do it. We see Paro acknowledges, and we see that these makos are meted out by who? Moshe Rabbeinu, for the first time. The first set of three are Aaron. The second set of three are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But who meets out each of these? Moshe Rabbeinu. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu. In the Makos of Barad, Arba and Choshech comes very strongly on the scene. Moshe stepped aside from Dam Tzfardei and Kinim for the reason that we described. HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters more powerfully, more adamantly, and more blatantly and obviously in the second unit. And here it's Moshe Rabbeinu's turn, but Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do it. He's scared to follow through with the instructions completely. When he's told to place his hand heavenwards, he takes his staff. But now let's read and learn and study the final of this section, the final of this unit, and really the final, as the Ramban understands, in the 3, 3, and 3 unit, and let's see if Moshe is able to bring down Choshech the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs him. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, neteyod chad Hashemayim, the same instruction, number 7, number 8, number 9. Barad, Arbe, Choshech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe, not to Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, place your hand heavenward with these final three. And what does Moshe do? Vayhi Choshech al Eretz Mitzrayim v'yamesh Choshech. And there will be darkness upon the land of Egypt and it will be tangible. Will Moshe listen? Will the instructions be followed? Vayet Moshe's Yado al Hashemayim. Finally, the ninth Makkah. The last Makkah in the final unit. Arbe, Dever, Arbe, Choshech, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, place your hand heavenward. He doesn't do it in Dever. He doesn't do it in Arbe. But finally here in Makkah's Choshech, Moshe listens, follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions. He places his hand heavenward, not his staff. His staff is missing. And the pasuk tells us, "Vayet Moshe's yado l'Hashemay v'yichoshech afela darkness b'chol eretz Mitzrayim shloshes yamim for 3 days v'lo ro ish es achi v'lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshes yamim v'chol bnei Yisrael hayor b'moshvosam." There is light for the Jewish people. Klal Yisrael able to see. The Mitzrayim can't see a thing. And here finally, Paro admits. Again, as we have seen in Dever Arba, now in Choshech again, Paro tells Moshe, "Go service." Worship Hashem, your God. I have now seen, I acknowledge, I recognize what has happened. So let's understand these three rungs on a ladder. The climb from Dam Tzfardei Kinim, the makos that Aaron meets out, the makos that are on the ground, the makos that the Chartumim are able to duplicate. That's the first set of three. Like the Ramban says, that you will see and know that there is a God. We then meet the next set of three. Arbe, Arov, Dever, and Shchin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs those three. It's not Moshe, it's not Aaron, it's not on the ground, it's not a staff. It seems to be everywhere. The Chartumim are unable to duplicate the second set. It's not with a mat, it's not with Moshe's hand, but it's rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod v'atzmo arav dever and shchin. And as the Ramban says, those set, and that unit, and that group of three is HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing Hashkacha Pratis, Hashkacha Hashem, that Bnei Yisrael will be protected, their cattle, their flock, their livestock, their animals will not be attacked, but Mitzrim's will. And finally, the last unit, the last section, Barad Ar Bechoshech, who meets out this? Not Aaron, not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Moshe Be'atzma. Moshe meets out the punishment for Barad Ar Bechoshech. They're all upward. They're all Moshe placing his hand heavenwards. The Chartumim can't do it. In the first set of Barad and Arbe, Moshe doesn't follow the instructions, but finally in Choshech, Moshe raises his hand upward and does it. What's unique? And why does it take the ninth Makkah for Moshe to be able to listen to the instructions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? This is what I think. The first set, Dam Tzvardei Akinim, as I noted, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu, is telling Aaron, is telling Bnei Yisrael, is telling the Mitzrim that you could have a relationship with me in this world, but on the ground only. I could connect with you. I could have a relationship with you. And if you know me and you understand me, you could do phenomenal things. Not only you, Moshe, not only you, Aaron, but even the Chartumim, every single human being, can have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every person can tap into and understand and to reach and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Jew and non-Jew alike, if you do it the right way properly. That's Dam, that's Tzvardei, and that's Kinem. That those three Makos have the ability to be able to show the world, L'manteide ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem your God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the world over that you could turn water to blood, you could create and manufacture frogs everywhere, and lice as well. And it has to be on the ground. It has to be through a mate. There has to be some unique sense and ability to be able to do it, but if you want to, you can. But the next set, the next unit, Arov Dever Shchin, when you think you're so close to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you think that you could duplicate and imitate and partner with me, I'll teach you something. You can't. I have the power. I have the ability. I will be the one to manufacture these makos. And they'll be everywhere. You can't do Arov. You can't do Dever. You can't do Shkin. Not with your mate, not with your yad, not on the ground. I will do it, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will show you Laman Hifla. I will show you the division between Mitzrayim and Goshen. That's me. Not even Moshe. Not even Aaron. And certainly not the Chartumim. So up until this point, what we have seen is that man has the ability to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on the ground. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us, stop. You can't even do certain things. But then the final unit, in my opinion, teaches us something critical to Moshe, to Aaron, and to us. Barad Ar Bechoshach is that you could even impact the cosmos. You could even impact above. If you raise your hand heavenward, you can change the world. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, lift your hands heavenward. Raise yourself. It's true, you could hit the ground like Aaron did. But you, Moshe, I believe that I have to teach you that you also can do something phenomenal. You can reach the heavens above. You can change and you could impact Shamayim. Raise your hand to the heaven. And Moshe is shocked by that. Moshe understands that you could hit the ground and there could be Dam, there could be Tzvardei, and there could be Kinim. Moshe recognizes that. He understands that his staff can turn to a Tanin, and the Tanin can turn back to a staff. Moshe understands how he could relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu here in this world. But Moshe doesn't understand that he can also raise himself and reach the heavens, and he can impact Shamayim Mimal. He understood until now that it's just Al Aretz Mitachas. But now Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, no, no, you can also reach up to heaven. And Moshe up until this point only understands that he could touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu here in Olam Haz in this world. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved in something supernatural, like the second unit, Arov Dever and Shchin, it's untouchable. I can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond. Arov Dever Shchin, that's the second unit. But in the final unit, Moshe is being taught by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you could raise your hands heavenward and you could bring down, you could bring me down to this world. And that's not something that Moshe yet knew or understood. And that's what happens in Barad, Arbe, and Choshech. But it's such a frightening, awe-inspiring, and transformative idea that Moshe is unable to do it, not in Barad and not in Arbe. Because instead of placing his hand heavenward, what does he do? He places his staff an intermediary. Moshe doesn't believe that he could do that. He doesn't believe that he could impact the heavens. He doesn't understand and believe that he's able to do that. That's why he takes an intermediary. That's why he takes the staff. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say anything to Min Barat. He doesn't say anything to Min Arbe about that. But comes Choshech, the final Makkah of this set. And the final of the set, the way the Ramban understands it, 3-3, and 3 Choshech, darkness, which is right before Makkas Bechoros, Moshe Rabbeinu is able to lift his hands heavenward and is able to understand that I know I can touch heaven. I can have a piece of Shemaim in my hand. I can bring the Choshech down myself. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu instructs me, I can do it and I can follow through. But it takes till the 9th Makkah, the final Makkah, in the final set, in the final number 9, for Moshe to appreciate, to realize it. And this is a very critical lesson that Moshe is taught, and that Moshe appreciates, and that Moshe understands that man can impact heaven. And you look in the Sfarim, they make this reference multiple times, that usually we understand as human beings, as Bnei Yisrael, as Jews, at any time in world history, that we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come down, and we can really impact and partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. But what we have a harder time appreciating is that we can impact Shamayim. That's something that we have a harder time understanding. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come, and we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dam Tzradei Akinim. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond. That's Arov Dever and Shechin. But the ability that we have to touch heaven and impact the cosmos, that's something that's very hard for us. And Masil Sisharm says this at the end of his Sefer, Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato says that a person has a hard time understanding prayer. That my prayers, my tefillos, can be so impactful, can be so powerful, can make such an impact and such a difference. And he says, that's this, that you can touch heaven. Says the Masil Sisharm, Mi ani umani safun lispalo beis hamikdash. How can I, me, little me, daven for binyan beis hamikdash every day in Shmon Esri, Yerushalayim Yerucha Brachim Im Tashem, Ritzei Hashem Lekeinu Bamcha Yisrael Vesfil Asam, Vesechazen Enei Meshuv Echel Tzim Rachim, Hashiva Shavtenik Rishonim. Who am I? I'm going to daven for the beis hamikdash to rebuild? Yishayo, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, right? The Treyasar. Me, I should daven for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe Kivega, the Chassam Sofer, the Netziv, maybe them, but me, says the Masil Sisharm, no, you can do it too. And that's what the Mishnah says in Maseches Sanhedrin, Bishvili, Nivra HaOlam, that the world was created for me. This approach and this thought about the last 3 Makos is really the intention of the entire Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, authored by the outstanding disciple of Vilna Gaon, Reb Chaim Yivalazhin. In his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, he puts down this philosophy that man has the power to impact Shemayim, that we have the ability to impact the cosmos, to change the world, not just Al Haaretz, but B'Shemayim Nimal. And this, I believe, is the stages and the 3 rungs on the ladder, and the message that is being taught to Moshe, to Aaron, to Bnei Yisrael, to Mitzrayim. As the Ramban says, and really as you see it clearly in the Psukim, this heightened level of progression that takes place, moving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu partnering with Moshe and Aaron in this world, through Dam Tzvardei Akinim, through the Mateh on the ground, the Chartumim can do it, through the next rung on the ladder, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, no, 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 you can't do everything that I can do. I'm different. I'm unique. Not at the Matah, not Moshe, not Aaron. I'm going to impact. I'm going to change. I'm going to bring Arov Dever Shechin. And then the highest level is the ability that man can raise his hands heavenward, can lift his hands up above, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, I hear you, and you can bring me down. And that's really the chiddush, really, of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism. That's the chiddush of Matan Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down. It's not that we have to go up, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down. That we have the ability to touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And that's the chiddush of these makos, that we are able to lift our hands heavenward and bring them down. A Jew doesn't have to escape reality. A Jew doesn't have to escape Olam Hazeh. A Jew doesn't have to run to the deserts and to the mountains and climb on high to reach a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we can lift our hands up and bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu down. And that's why in the coming parashas, the parasha of Yisro, you'll see Moshe goes up. And where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Keeps on coming down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, 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 you can touch me here. You can connect with me here. You can bring me down into your world. And that's the makos of Barad, Arba, and Choshech, the ability that we have as Jews, as Kalal Yisrael, through our tefillah, through our Torah study, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. Maybe we zoche to see only these things happen. Be'ezrat Hashem, wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.